Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
And it's time for another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley back with you here as we get ready to talk about the Cleveland Browns. We are officially in the top half of the draft, working our way up to the number one pick, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You will hear that next week. That is the final of the 32 podcasts we'll be bringing to you all the month of April. So working our way up, we'll talk about the Cleveland Browns today, what they've done this offseason, who have they added, who have they lost, what are the trade targets going to be for the Cleveland Browns, what are the fantasy implications of their maneuvers, and what about them going forward. So far, the biggest news for them is brand new uniforms, but we'll get into all the other stuff here on the podcast as we move forward here. As I said, working our way up to number one, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be our final podcast next week. You can catch up on all of our Franchise Focus podcasts. Go right to FantasyGuru.com. They're right on the front page, all listed for you, and of course, BlogTalkRadio.com/FantasyGuru. But the MLB season, that's in full swing. No more previewing that. And FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Their entry fees start at just $1, and you don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. There's no season-long commitment, no upfront fees. And what I like about FanDuel, Joe, is, you know, all the other sports usually start play around the same time. Night games. Here we are on a Wednesday, you know, Thursday afternoon, and there's day baseball on. You can watch games and have a reason to keep an eye on stuff at any point in the day.
Yeah, it's just absolutely fantastic, and you've got your pitching matchups in the middle of the week. Maybe in those getaway days, you think, oh, the offense could be up in these games.
There you go.
Because you're just throwing a fifth starter out there. Throw a lineup out there, try to score some runs, win some money.
People who won some money, how about Duncan from Brooklyn? He won $726 on opening day alone. And that's because FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer's only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So, guys, as we get into this podcast, we've been taking your questions. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. Tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at the Matt Kemp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Brawley. And which is kind of a generic one here from Cody, but he was looking at the podcast that we were doing this week and mentioning specifically the Browns. Is this looking like a fantasy wasteland again? And as you look at the roster and the moves that they made and the guys they have lost, you're not very excited about the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, the
Cody's
quarterback.
Not too far off.
No, he's not. It seems like a fantasy wasteland. And the guys who were the most productive last year, I guess you would say, are Isaiah Crowell was one of those names. And, you know, that's even a question mark going into this year. They're going to make a change at quarterback. Hoyer is now in Houston. Johnny Manziel just got out of rehab. We don't know. He's very much up in the air in terms of his career right now. They do sign Josh McCown, but they lost Jordan Cameron. They replace him with Rob Housler. They add Dwayne Bowe. Miles Austin is gone. He still have Andrew Hawkins and Taylor Gabriel. This is not exactly a deep group here for the Cleveland Browns, and they have a lot of work to do yet again. And for fantasy,
not a lot of inspiring names.
No,
just
it's not even
off.
Close. I mean, for fantasy now, guys, I mean, you know, do they have a name that you're looking at right now and going, I could see him on my team in some way, shape, or form with confidence? Do you feel like anybody's like that?
No.
Not even close.
The problem is, positive is.
Sorry, I forgot about Brian Hartline. They also added Brian Hartline.
That changes everything.
The positive is, if you want to look for a silver lining here, is I don't think you're going to really need to have much confidence in order to add one of these guys to your team.
Is it like the Bears of previous years were, okay, we know what we're getting here. Well, with the Browns, we know we're probably not touching these guys.
Yeah, and it's maybe you're one of those Rob Hausler truthers out there who's finally glad he's going to get an opportunity. Or maybe you think Dwayne Bowe was being limited by his quarterback playing Kansas City. Don't know if it's going to be much better in Cleveland. And he's available in the late, late rounds. This is a team where I don't think you have to make a big investment in order to get on board.
Sure.
It's just a matter of, do you really, is this like throwing a $5 investment into a stock that has a very low chance of paying you out?
And right now, Isaiah Crowell is probably about the only name that kind of gives you a little bit of excitement. But even then, see, there's Terrence West still. They split carries a ton last year.
They didn't know what they were doing.
And there's talk that they might use that last pick in the first round on another running back. So even that has to be tempered a little bit.
I mean, it's just like one of these teams I've talked about a lot, just avoiding bad situations. To me, this is one of those that, you know what, I'll just avoid
kind
it.
Kind of the opposite of the Packers.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to, you know, buy into that, but
am I really going to miss getting, like, oh, I should have had one of those Browns on my team this year? I don't think I'm going to miss, as it stands right now, not having a Brown on my team. So we talk about McCown here, and is it much different from Brian Hoyer, Manziel, or what they had there? Probably not. Now, there's some that believe that he was kind of screwed by what happened last year in Tampa Bay with his injury, with their O-line issues. I just don't think he's very good and didn't have the luxury of playing with, you know, under Mark Trestman and that offense. Now, he had the weapons there. Mike Evans had a tremendous season. Vincent Jackson was solid. Severian Jenkins didn't do much. The backfield didn't help him, but he had some big weapons on the outside.
What doesn't he have in
Cleveland? Doesn't have anything close to that.
Doesn't have any weapons
now. One thing he does have is a competent offensive
line. Right. That's the upgrade there for him.
And the Tampa offensive line is one of the worst I've seen in years.
But he doesn't have Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson on the outside to throw it up to. Or Brandon Marshall, or also
the draft. I mean, it steps down across the board except for the O-line, as Joe mentioned.
McCown is, you know what? He's getting himself paid, and I cannot blame him. They pulled him off a high school practice field 2 years ago, and now he's a millionaire.
Oh, he was a millionaire.
Multi-times over. Yeah, a lot more. Yeah.
But now multiple times over.
I don't know what the numbers are, but he's probably made more money in the last 2 years than he did his first 10 years.
He just signed a three-year deal worth $14 million with a chance to make $20 with $6.25 million guaranteed. Look, those are the numbers.
That's the number I'm carrying.
Exactly. Those are the numbers could be hollow, but the fact that he's going to make over $6 million guaranteed, as Joe said a couple of years ago when all the Bears quarterbacks went down, they're like, hey, he knows the offense, we'll bring him in, and then that gets him a deal – you know, to stick around with the Bears. He plays well, gets him a nice deal with the Bucs because Lovie Smith still loves him. And now he gets another deal after a terrible season in 2014. So, I mean, there's a perfect example of where the quarterback position is in the NFL and why guys that maybe are kind of middle of the road are getting locked up for bigger deals. McCown's a guy who's still getting paid, but as we said here, guys, look, he threw for just over 2,200 yards last year, completed just 56% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. I mean, it did not go well at all. 29 at the quarterback position, 16.8 fantasy points per game. Missed some time with that thumb injury. Mike Glennon couldn't hold on to the job. Then McCown came back, threw for fewer than 200 yards in 7 of his 11 starts, and one or fewer touchdowns in 7 of 11 starts.
I can't believe he made 11 starts.
I know, right? Doesn't
feel
really like that.
I don't remember him playing that much. There just was really nothing memorable other than the performance, I guess, of Evans.
Well, when you complete fewer than 50% of your passes in 3 starts and fewer than 60% in 3 more, it's very forgettable to have that season. So you bring him in to, I don't know what. I mean, right now, I think we all expect him to be the week one starter for the Cleveland Browns because Manziel's a giant question mark.
Is there Mariota here? This is one of the spots. And
right.
Once again, I'm not going to be talking at extent about Mariota in any uniform until after the draft because I don't know who's going to draft him.
Well, one guy that is there is Manziel, but he's a guy that he's just, you can't put any trust in him right now. He was
I hope he got a bust last season. I really do.
His life was a mess, and now he's just getting out of rehab and stuff. I mean, you can't really put any stock in this guy.
We learned that he has a long way to go on the football field after the little we saw him last season. Now, we talk about the backfield here, and Tom mentioning Crowell might be one guy you're kind of like, okay, if he gets a chance, could he do possibly something?
Yeah, he has a good skill set we saw last year. You know, he's good around the goal line. There's things to like about him, but this offense as a whole kind of is going to drag him down.
They couldn't decide who was their guy last year, whether it was Tate, who then eventually got cut, Crowell, West, they couldn't figure it out. It seemed to be, he practiced better. He didn't fumble. He looked at Mike Pettine the wrong way.
That was so annoying last year. Guy had the better week of practice, so we're going to give him 20 carries this week. This guy didn't practice well. You're on the bench.
You know what it tells me? They don't really like any of these guys all that much, and that's why they're being mentioned.
To motivate them.
But if they're going through all these guys, it should tell you that nobody's really that good.
I like Crowell as a runner. I like him better than Terrence West. He's just got good balance, very good vision, low center of gravity.
West is the number two in a good offense.
Yeah,
he's just a guy.
Overdrafted. I like Crowell better, but this is a team, by the way, this week, the Cleveland Browns were mentioned to the team where Melvin Gordon is going to visit. This could be irrelevant.
Yeah, that's my next question. Is what they have here enough that's going to stop them from taking one of these big-time running backs?
I don't think it's enough, no. But if they didn't draft a running back, I wouldn't think they'd be hurting themselves.
Right.
Yeah,
How many holes this team has, I don't think running back
think
is Crowell a major
be
need
a starting
in the first
back.
Couple rounds.
I mean, if you look at their offense, wide receiver, I would think is a bigger need for the Browns.
Absolutely.
No doubt at all.
Yeah,
that's
a number one
need for the
Browns. Since Gordon, who knows what hit him.
Right.
You know, he could be done. His career could be done.
I mean, it's Gordon and Braylon Edwards really before that, right? I mean, that's really what the Browns are down to in the last 8 years.
Fantasy players like Isaiah Crowell.
That was my next question, because he does have a little more of that upside there, and, you did see him pop off some runs here and there.
MFL 10's early data. We've been going to him a lot. I love looking at it. Isaiah Crowell, guys, among the running back position. Guess where he's going?
I'll say 20th among the running backs.
What do you
say? I'd say a little lower, probably like 23.
25 among running backs in early MFL 10 data. Now, in MFL 10s, running backs tend to go a little bit earlier because people like to get guys they feel good about.
You're not taking as much of a risk, I would think, in that kind of format, because you know you can get more.
Yeah, because it's a format that actually is really conducive to success for second and third receivers.
Right, right.
Because those guys will have a big game here and there. But anyway, Crowell going on average, pick 49.37, makes him a late fourth, early fifth round pick, right behind Andre Ellington, Jonathan Stewart, and Melvin Gordon.
Okay.
And then it's Crowell right there, and then there's about a full round drop off between Crowell and the next running back, CJ Spiller.
Okay.
And then another full round drop off between Spiller and then Jerick McKinnon, Devontae Freeman, Shane Vereen, and a guy who I think is going pretty damn low in these MFL 10s, Frank Gore.
Yeah, that's really
low. He's probably gone up.
I like
since
where Crow's going among the running backs. I don't like the overall spot.
Agreed.
But I like where he's going among running backs.
I agree. We're at
I
the
can't
position
really argue
sense.
With a ton of these.
Little early for me. I would not take him in the fourth or fifth.
I'd probably be taking a receiver.
But among the running backs.
No, that I think total agreement there.
Probably about right.
Yes, I would agree with that.
What about West?
Now, Terrence West is, as we get into him here. Now, I just want to hit these as you're looking up those numbers. Just comparing the two last season. Crowell looked like the most talented back. 9 games with double-digit carries, averaged 46% of the snaps, 148 attempts, 607 yards, 4.1 yards per carry, 8 touchdowns. Now, no real role in the pass game. 9 for 87 on 14 targets, 7.9 fantasy points per game. He started 4 games, but played in all 16. 3 fumbles, lost 2 of them. They were a little worried about that. Now, West, by comparison, third-round pick last year. Remember, at one point, he was a healthy scratch. They were that mad at this guy. Played in 14 games. He got 6 starts, 673 yards, 4 touchdowns on 171 carries, so a little bit lower there at 3.9 yards per carry. And once again, not much of a role in the pass game. 11 for 64, the touchdown on 13 targets, 8.1 fantasy points per game. So Crowell was better. West got, more of the starts, as we saw there.
He was the higher pick.
He was the higher pick. And in terms of the carries, 171 for West, 148 for Crowell. So Crowell a little bit more efficient with his touches. But neither guy really jumping out, although as we've seen here, it looks like early drafters are more intrigued by
Crowell. Yeah, they're believing in what they saw with their eyes last year.
Which I think we would be with them. Now, where is West going in comparison to Crowell?
This is really interesting because Terrence West is going about 43rd among running backs. Pick 121.66.
So 23 guys?
10th, 11th round pick.
So about 20 guys after.
What could be a split backfield?
To me, it seems like West is a nice little value there.
Yeah, more value
somebody
than
who, he's going into his second year. I thought he was a little bit plodding last year, but that's a fair spot for him where I'd be willing to make one of those investments. And by all means, you assume by the end of this draft with Gordon and Gurley and Ajayi, Abdullah, Yeldon, Coleman, David Cobb, where all these guys are going to get drafted, it might be the shiny new toy thing where these guys start really leaping up and maybe you get some value here as well.
So we go to the receivers here, guys. Gordon, we know, is out with the suspension. Miles Austin is now in Philadelphia. So that leaves them with Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel, and now they add Hartline and they add Dwayne Bowe. So it's a downgrade over where they were at last year. Hawkins, Joe, is one
Somehow it's a downgrade. It couldn't be
that,
worse.
Right, exactly. Amazing that it's gone to a downgrade.
Without Gordon, I'm not
that's
certain
true. Because they basically played most of the year without Gordon anyway. So
It's a couple of guys.
It's not good. The bottom line is it's not good. Now, Hawkins has been one of those guys that, you know, Joe and I have been talking about. You know, he'll probably get you five catches, maybe. I mean, he's not going to do much more than that. If you need to pick him up on a Sunday morning, throw in your lineup, fine. You're not jumping out to get him.
Yeah.
I mean, even last year, 63, 88, 24, 2, 13.1 yards per catch, 111 targets.
That's going to be Hawkins, Hartline, and Bowe this year. They're waiver wire fodder.
56.8% catch rate is not very good at all.
This team needs a receiver.
Yep. And they're probably solid. Where are they pick overall? 12? They're just praying that Amari Cooper or Kevin White falls to them.
Now, this is a team, remember, with...
Or maybe they wait for Perriman at first-round pick. They're just praying to get one of those guys.
You know what? Ooh, maybe Cooper falls to 8. You know what? We've got 2 firsts. Maybe we can use that our third rounder to move up 4 spots to try to get Amari Cooper or Kevin White here. This is a team that...
Well, what the Bills did with them last year?
Yeah, this is a team that needs a receiver. And remember last year, we were at the draft when the news broke that Josh Gordon was going to be suspended.
Minutes before the start of the second
round.
And
they still didn't draft a receiver. You know what? And I'm glad they didn't have a panic move, but... Guys, look at all these rookie receivers who made an impact
after they picked. Well, no, we had this talk with Kansas City, too. That was a team that had a clear need of receiver, too. Both of these teams didn't address it, and they suffered last year.
Their pick
was a great class.
Was Taylor Gabriel, who was an undrafted rookie at Abilene Christian, who had a nice game where he flashed a little bit. He's a bit of a downfield threat. Look, 39.3 yards per catch is impressive, but 37 catches. There's a role for that guy, but it can't be a big role, which it was really last year.
Yeah, and look... What was it? Pick just a couple picks after them. Philly took Jordan Matthews, and later on in the round, Allen Robinson went. I believe Marquise Lee went a little bit before their pick.
Second round.
Dante Moncrief was drafted.
Martavis Bryant went the fourth round.
Just a really surprising
John
team
Brown.
That didn't
not,
draft
not saying
John
they
Brown,
had to
right?
get one of the superstars, although they had the opportunity to get them. But there was plenty out there to build on. There was guys you can go, all right. A Cody Latimer even would have been like, okay, that's a guy we can work. Maybe he would have played more last year.
They got Terrence Weston III. Solved all their problems.
I mean, they got a lot to work on, and receiver has to be something big. I don't think we're excited about Bowe. I think his best years are clearly behind him. Hartline's a guy. And you're going with McCown. So, I mean, it's a boring offense.
Now they have nothing at tight end now.
And they have, I mean, Rob Hauser. Come on, no, Rob Hauser's going to come back. This is Rob Hauser's comeback
Jim
here.
Dre.
It's not happening. I mean, Cameron, we know with the concussions, it didn't help him. But, you know, Rob Hauser did not get the job done. He never hit his potential, whatever that may be, in Arizona. And he even said, I'm coming here because I'm going to get an opportunity. And he should, because they don't really have anybody else. So this is a pretty ugly team.
Serious question. Is this the worst fantasy team heading into next year right now?
Well, without the benefit of the draft?
Yeah. I think it is.
It's right there.
Yes.
I mean, even Oakland at least has some upside with Latavius and Derek Carr. I mean, there's not much upside.
And they just added Crabtree there, too.
Yep.
I don't know how excited you are about that,
but
still.
It's something.
I'm not excited.
There's nothing here that you're going, there's a future in Cleveland for these guys. There's nobody on this team like that right now.
But they got new uniforms.
And they got new uniforms because their owner needs money, and that's clear. Now, for the draft here, guys, you talked about wide receiver, possibly running back in the mix, but where else could they be going? I mean, tight end. I think you could throw all 3 spots in there as possible needs.
Quarterback,
but for what? Who are you grabbing?
They're a Mariota team, if possible. I think pass rush is possible, as it is with all of these teams. You'd think they're okay at corner. They signed Tremont Williams. They drafted Justin Gilbert and Pierre Desir last year.
And they have that Joe Hayden guy.
I think their secondary is good. Maybe they had a linebacker pass rush. Their line is all right.
I just think they were that defense was on the field too much last year because their offense stunk. I mean, that's what I think. It's a pretty solid defense. It is a strength of the team here. But is this team going to take a quarterback back-to-back years in the first round? After trading trading to get Manziel last year to move up and get him.
Maybe they're
going to take a quarterback again.
Takes another project with, I don't know, Hundley or Bryce Petty in the third.
The only reason you do it is if
maybe they go after the Colorado State kid, the Grayson kid.
If you're going to take one in the first round, it's a luck kind of guy. That guy doesn't exist in this
game. I don't think they will. They can't do that to their
first. I'm not comparing Manziel to Mariota. I'm saying Mariota's not at that. All right, we got our guy for the next 10 years. We don't know if he's there. So I don't – can you invest that money again in the first round?
Yeah. Go get that receiver. Make the receivers a little better.
4 or 5 years after they took Whedon in the first round too? I mean, how many –
exactly. They have too many misses, you know.
If there's any question, you don't do it. And you go, all right, we'll roll with McCown and see what we get out of Manziel. So it's a mess in Cleveland, but I think everybody already knew that as we look forward and continue to move up. The draft order will be hitting the Vikings and Rams for the rest of this week. And as I said, you want to get your questions in, you can use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. Tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at the Matt Camp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Browley, and we will answer them for you on future podcasts. One more reminder that MLB season is in full swing, and you want to get in on all the action with FanDuel. FanDuel.com, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Those entry fees start at just $1. You can play today and win tonight. You don't have to wait all year long to win a league. There's no season-long commitment. And, you know, Tom Joe was mentioning earlier those travel days and, oh, my guy's not pitching tonight on my season-long team. Who cares? You don't have to worry about that in FanDuel.
Yeah, and there you got the afternoon games all spread out through Wednesday, Thursday, you know, Saturday, Sunday. You can watch baseball all day and doing FanDuel.
Ben in Fort Lauderdale on opening day won $312. So a nice investment there. Turns into a nice payday. And that's just on one day. And that's because FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. But you have to play to win. So sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So as we're coming towards the end of this Franchise Focus podcast, more to come, two more this week, and the final nine next week, leading up to the number one pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, before the draft at the end of April. And speaking of the end of April, the early bird special runs through then, $24.95, $5 off the regular price. Get in on that now while you can. That only remains till the end of April. Pre-draft rookie report, pre-draft podcast, John Hansen and Greg Cosell. The post-free agency podcast with John Hansen and Greg Cosell. As soon as the draft over, that week we'll have the post-draft rookie report. So we'll have those rookies ranked for you as you get into your rookie drafts and dynasty leagues. Plenty of stuff to catch up on and look forward to on the site, even in April and into May, before we even get really rolling in July, August, and into the season. So for Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.